Life Is, and I'm your host, Niles McFlower. Another great show today dealing with metaphysics and spirituality and science and, well, what have you. And if you would like to call in, you can. The numbers are right on the screen for you, 800 numbers that are. And that's for both the U.S. and for Canada. Tonight I thought we'd talk about spiritually preserving wealth. It may sound a little bit contradictory for some people if you're familiar with what that might mean, but I don't think so, because otherwise I wouldn't have a show that would be so contradictory we could not explain it. We have to be able to explain these things. So let me first of all define what I'm talking about, so that would be helpful. Preserving wealth is attempting to hold on to or keep for appropriate use, and that's a very important word, appropriate use, those things that people need and want to have, and those things are things. So preserving wealth is a thing. Now, a lot of people say, well, isn't health wealth? Isn't other kinds of emotional things possibly wealth? Well, sometimes in a loose way, yes. But I'm going to be a little bit not so loose tonight. I'm going to define wealth as something that is tangible enough that a person can take it with them, can hold on to it, can give it away, can etc. And obviously how someone feels would not be incorporated within that definition. So hopefully you're still with me on that. Now, the idea of preservation is, again, an appropriation. When is it appropriate for something, for someone to do something? When is it appropriate to have something? And when does it make sense to try to have it for a better time than the present time? So for a lot of people, this may be somewhat future-oriented, but not always. And it may also be, when is it appropriate to use it right now? What is the time to use what we have for the best possible reason? And since we're talking about spiritually, those reasons are going to be incorporated or underneath the concept of what is spiritual. So obviously, we're not talking about gaining the most wealth because you want to impress your neighbors, or possibly you want to have power and persuasion over others because that makes you feel better. That would probably not fit into the spiritually part of what the show is about. So if that's what you need, you probably can tune into other places, you know, that just deal with the wealth part but aren't going to deal with the spiritual part. Okay, so hopefully that short, and that was a short definition, will help in defining what I'm trying to talk about tonight. And let me first go into the ideas that most people have. At least I think that most people have, in having wealth that will make them in some way, we'll say, more empowered to be spiritual and at the same time to meet their needs for their future in some way. And in a historical sense, and if we look at various ways that this has been dealt with in religions and metaphysics and we'll just say in general cases of how to create virtue, it has usually been true that people seek to have the wealth that they think will in some way add to their connection with God. And this has been a more traditional way of handling, or we'll say having a defined way of dealing with wealth. So if people think in the past, or if they go maybe to churches of various denominations, etc., in the present, oftentimes it's held out that to have a closer relationship with God, sometimes to be in God's grace or favor, sometimes to be in the institution who or which represents a expression of God, a certain amount of wealth is needed to be used for the betterment of what is projected to be works by God, which could be the works of a church, or it could be the works of a Bible, or works of a person's conscience. And I think that this has been, for a lot of people, you know, why they say, well, I'm going to tithe 10%, 15%, whatever, of my wealth, which is usually an income, but sometimes it isn't, to this particular godly, virtuous way of expression. And for a lot of people, they think that covers it. That's it. Okay, done. I don't have to worry about it anymore. I have done what I'm supposed to do. I gave at the gathering. I committed this amount of resource for this or that. And that's it. Now, for the purposes of where I'm coming from, I'm kind of looking at that as probably not what I'm going to be suggesting tonight. Even though, for a lot of people, that really is what would be the appropriate way of giving. So, for those people, I may be a little bit stepping on their toes, it's possible, and that's why you can call in and disagree with me and say, hey, wait a second, I don't agree with that idea. But I'm going to throw out some other ideas, some other thoughts about this that may be going into a different direction completely. New ideas about how to deal with the subject so that we can maybe open our consciousness, expand our consciousness in a way that for a lot of people maybe it hasn't been considered before, which is okay. You know, I mean, that's what we're here for, right? I mean, if we're just going to talk about how it's been done before, I mean, it could be a history lesson, basically. Okay. So let me give some other ideas then about the concepts that I think are important to the subject. First of all, I just mentioned consciousness. If we're including consciousness in the equation of, in a spiritual sense, of how wealth is dealt with and how someone is going to preserve their wealth so that they can use it in the best way possible in a spiritual sense, then it really changes the whole equation. Consciousness comes from giving wisely. You know, so I said wisely, not just giving. You don't, if let's say, and I'm going to use an example. Okay, let's say that that I wanted to expand my consciousness and I happen to have just come into $1 million. Oh, a lot of money. And I say, well, you know, hey, I'd like to really expand my consciousness. I think I'll take about half of this money, $500,000. That's a lot of money by most people's standards. And I'll stand on the street corner and start giving out $100 bills. I'm going to give away $500,000 as quick and as fast and easy as I possibly can to those people who just pass me by or anybody I can get my, you know, my hand out to, provided they'll take the $100 bill from me. And I'm just going to do that till I've used up all the $500,000, and I should then, have a great expansion in consciousness because I gave $500,000, which is, since money, in this case, is what we're talking about as a representative of wealth, is compressed time and energy. That means I gave a heck of a lot of compressed time and energy, almost maybe, you know, like a half a lifetime's worth. So my consciousness should be really up there, right? Wrong. That is a stupid thing to do, if you don't mind me saying so, because it shows that I gave, but I gave with virtually no wisdom. Because the people I'm giving to, I'm indiscriminately giving to, and I'm doing so in a way which may be making some people more selfish, some people thinking I'm nuts, and not respecting anything that I may give to them. So they're not going to have gratitude. That's not a good thing. And it goes on and on. I mean, this is like, okay, if you really want to do it wrong, do that. Okay, because there's virtually no wisdom involved. And so it negates the giving. It changes something that could be a real consciousness development into a kind of nonsensical activity that is potentially destructive to others and certainly is not going to benefit me. So there we go. There's an interesting dilemma just from that one example. Now, how could we correct this? How could I correct it? Well, this is where most people don't really, I think for the most part, understand. And this is probably the most critical factor. In order to use our wealth, we need to use it in a way that is for the highest and best use for every part of it in every part of time that we exist in. So there may be a great thing to be done, but the best time to do it might be 3 months from now. Or there may be something that has to be done in the next 5 minutes, but it won't be worth anything 3 months from now. So time becomes a critical element. The kind of activity becomes crucial for us to be able to reach the most amount of good for the most amount of people in the most or least amount of time possible. So these are critical elements that come into play, and it's up to me, if I'm the giver, to be able to determine all of these factors. I can't just call up my favorite charity and say, hey, I'll let you guys just decide what to do, because I don't really want to put any time into this, so I'll just write my check for $500,000 and you go ahead and do what you want. Believe it or not, and this isn't anti-charity here. I don't want you to think that. But that really isn't a solution at all. That may be no better. It may be even worse in some circumstances, depending who the charity is and what you do or don't know and don't understand. All kinds of issues get involved here. Than just standing on the street corner and giving out $100 bills. That's not to say that there aren't some charities that we shouldn't consider some value in giving to, because we do consider them in the upper part of our desire and belief that they are doing what we think as the highest or close to the highest and best use for what we have at that moment. For a lot of people, that is not true, though. So charities are not an answer either. For a lot of people, in a general sense, sure, you can give something to some charities under some circumstances, but generally it doesn't work out that if you really were to think about it, that is the highest and best use. See, this is where it gets really difficult, because it really is on an individual basis. You can't say, well, I generally want to give this charity because it's easier for me and they know what best to do with it, but it may not be true. I mean, That's like saying, well, I don't want to think. I don't want to deliberate. I don't want to put myself into a position where I have to do a lot more effort and work to maybe involve myself in the process. Because maybe giving money to a charity doesn't work, but maybe going out and working with a charity is a very good thing to do for some people. So we see that this is how complicated it can get. And if we're going to preserve wealth, we have to be careful not to be foolish in giving what we have. And I might not even using money, because it's a simple thing, compressed time and energy. But we do need to talk about individuals' time and an individual's energy and individual's thought and efforts, because usually that's the more relevant issue than just, quote, going to your wallet or writing out a check. So here is how touchy and difficult it can get. For a lot of people are not spiritually preserving their wealth. They may be preserving some level of wealth for the wrong motives, etc. And a lot of people that are giving to sometimes very bad sources for them and giving in ways that are really not wise at all. So today's show really applies to more people than you might expect, maybe to the people who are listening as well. And if we're going to correct these things, we've got to really understand that there's tremendous amounts of deliberation, effort, responsibility that is needed for a person to handle this particular subject in a way that not only raises their consciousness, because that was one of the first things we talked about, but helps to raise the consciousness of others and acts in service to those that they are trying to serve. Because that's really what the bottom line is. If you're doing this, you need to be serving some people out there and doing so in a spiritual way that makes some level of sense to yourself if you're going to be involved in doing it, you see. Okay, so then where do we go from here? How do we make some sense out of doing this in a way that is really beneficial and really going to help us to spiritually preserve our wealth and also to make sure that those that we are trying to serve are going to be truly served? And does this affect how we are going to exist in the future? Because some of the wealth that we have will have to preserve our own existence and those of people that are closest to us. So how does that all fit together in some kind of, we'll say, meaningful way that would work in most circumstances? And is there any way that you could say, well, this in general is the way to go about it? The answer is yes, but it's not going to be a cookie cutter. In other words, whatever I'm going to suggest tonight is not going to be something that, oh, well, I'll just do these 9 things and boom, I'm all set. Just follow this guy's thing and we'll get it right. Like anybody's going to do that anyway, I don't think so, but if they did, that's not what I'm suggesting. Because this is not a cookie cutter situation. This is a very creative one. This is one in which great amounts of thought are needed. Something that most people do not, I think, do. I think this is where a lot of people fail. Some people are great at gaining certain levels of wealth, but terrible in terms of its use. I mean, it's in a spiritual sense. Not because they're bad people, but because I think this is a subject that is not well understood. And, of course, that's the reason I'm doing tonight's show on it. Because I believe that really this is, now, the highest amount of good for the most many people, the greatest needs, where are those things? Are they people living in Africa or Southeast Asia? A lot of people say, well, you know, that's where they must need us most, you know, need the wealth most, et cetera. And unfortunately, that may not apply. You know, the interesting thing is that it has to do a lot with the nature of what is needed by others more than what the nature of what we have to give. And so here's an interesting point. I want to give you a little example of this. I hope this will be helpful. And I'm kind of jumping around here because there's so many different angles and sides of this whole thing. It's massive. But let me give you an idea about this. Let's say, well, you know, I've heard about the poor people in Africa who have all these different terrible, and some of them are terrible diseases, everything from malaria to certain kinds of infestations from the parasites that come from snails and other crazy stuff, things we're not familiar with in the United States and the Western world in general. And so, you know, we could say, well, it's debilitating when these people have these terrible diseases that barely can function. And shouldn't we just give all of our resources to help those poor people? In comparison to anything we have, it seems minimal as a problem. Well, you got to look at humanity as a whole, although it's certainly touching, and we all should be touched and have great concern for all of the humans in this world who suffer for whatever purposes or reasons that they are. But, and this is going to sound a little strange, but I want to deal with this as directly as I possibly can. People in those positions oftentimes have a lifetime, a whole lifetime before them, in which they're doing the basics. They're working out sometimes very low types, but very formidable degrees of karma. Low types in the sense that they're still developing a large element or large elements of the basics of their soul. So they're not necessarily the most advanced souls on the planet, and they may have significant problems because they have screwed up in some very basic ways. Maybe they had a very violent several lifetimes, maybe living in similar areas to where they are at the present time. And it's difficult for them, very difficult. Should we help them? Yes. But our help to them should be at the level that they can respond and what they can give back to themselves and others and how they can grow their soul at the level they're at. You know, building, as an example, let's say we say, well, we'll try to cure them of malaria at the same time we'll build the largest and greatest university in the world, helping to educate them in advanced ways. You know, that's probably not a wise thing to do because those people have so many steps to get to that university level that it's the wrong timing to give them that. It's best to try to help them with their illness, certainly. It's best to probably divert the flow of the water of the river that was changed by a dam that's causing these snail problems. This is a real thing, by the way. And also to maybe institute DDT again, even though we thought it was bad. DDT, even if it causes some amounts of cancer, can't possibly be as bad as the amount of malaria that has taken over parts of sub-Saharan Africa. And other parts in certain parts of Southeast Asia. So we really have to be concerned about where it's going to make a difference, but not to give tremendous resources to people who aren't going to be able to use those resources in ways that are wise for them and helpful. Maybe some netting will be helpful, although that isn't really the best treatment or cure, in my opinion. It's helpful for an immediate fix right away to start doing something, but definitely eradicating the mosquitoes that carry malaria, as an example, changing the course of the river, as I said, and changing some things about that, and going down and killing those snails in other ways. Sometimes direct intervention just like that is the best thing you can do right away. And then in addition, instead of trying to find a cure in the way that we have been going, maybe we have to do something a little different, such as getting into a genetic realm or changing some things that of the way that we have tried. And there may be other issues as well. So the point is, those kinds of things might be very helpful, but again, giving people all of the resources that we might want to give them may not be appropriate. Also, I believe in helping them to help themselves. Let's build their economy by helping them to become, even if infected, somewhat more productive in making a living for themselves. Instead of us just giving everything to them, let's help them to develop some wealth themselves at whatever level they can. And instead of just trying to treat them as poor, disadvantaged, why don't we help them to grow themselves a little bit more and get rid of governments that are corrupt and help them to become better by their own resources at the same time we do give them some assistance on more basic levels where they can't at the present time deal with the situation. Like they may not be able to kill all the mosquitoes themselves. It's just too expensive, and they don't even have the resource of the single best way to do it, which is DDT, because we banned it. So at any rate, these are the kinds of things to look at if we're going to be helpful to people who are severely disadvantaged in comparison to ourselves. We have to be very careful that we don't overdo it, because giving unwisely can be more destructive than doing nothing at all. Remember that. It's a very difficult thing for us who may have so much to really recognize. So many people say, well, we'll just give more money. If a little bit helps, then a lot more will help more, right? No, it doesn't. As a matter of fact, it probably will make it considerably worse once you go past a certain tipping point. And so that's where we have to be cautious about how we're going to use the wealth that we have. Now, how does that compare? I'm going to jump again, I'm jumping subjects, to us using or saving some wealth to deal with our own futures. Should we have 401ks? Should we have huge amounts of assets sitting in some kind of vault somewhere? People are saving gold these days and other precious metals. Do we want to have a large amount of that available at some point? And the answer to that is pretty simple. Can you do more with it today than you can do with it tomorrow? Whatever you believe you can do the most with today, use it today. And let tomorrow come or not. Because otherwise one is assuming that one's physical length of life and comfort is the key and element as the most important factor in determining how to spiritually preserve one's wealth. And that is a wrong answer. So you really have to have humility here if you're going to understand what the last concept I just put out. You have to see that basically your life may not be more important tomorrow than the giving today is. And the best thing to do is, if you see the highest and best use today, then use what you've got. If you can't figure it out, or if you see a moderate use, but not the highest and best, coming until a certain time, then you wait for that time. And you preserve what you have until that time. And use what you have until that time. In a measured amount. And then, when the time comes, assuming that you are right, then you use the rest. But it isn't based upon just, well, gee, I got to live 25 years, so I have to do this or that. That's an inappropriate way to deal with wealth. To a lot of people are going to say, well, what happens when I run out of money when I'm 10 years from now or whatever? Well, if you live by that situation, how do you know you're going to be here 10 years from now? As a matter of fact, you're going to be killing yourself faster by holding on to those gold coins and saying, I'm going to need it 10 years from now. You're going to age faster, have more diseases, and maybe die in 7 years or six. So you see, it just doesn't work out to believe that. Now, I know, if you go to a regular counselor, not listening to crazy me on the radio, they're going to tell you got to have this much in this gold, you got to have this much in these stocks, you got to have this and that. You know, and after the economy gets wiped out and everything else, and you get sick and you lose it all, you're going to find out that kind of advice didn't do you much good. It's something to consider. Now, we're going to go to break for right now. I want you to think about that. That was a controversial thought, wasn't it? I have more to say about it. So when we come back, I got a lot more to say about that particular subject and a whole bunch more. We should be back in about 2 minutes from right now.
Hun, what book are you reading?
It's a novel, kind of, about romance, love, and spiritual life in general.
Kind of a novel? What do you mean?
Well, it's based on some real-life experiences and even real characters. Some of their experiences are fascinating and remarkable. I can't put this book down.
How come the title is Afterlife Love?
That's part of the fascination. This book describes the afterlife in intricate detail and even explains why things are the way they're explained.
But how can anyone write about or know that?
Some of the characters travel out of body to some places that people who've already died also go to. I'm finding it completely believable because it all makes sense and fits into a bigger picture for me.
Hun, what happens to these people?
You can read it for yourself when I'm done if you want.
Better yet, I'll get my own copy so we can discuss it while we read. Let me see. I'll write down the title. It's Afterlife Love by Niles McFlower. M-A-C-F-L-O-U-E-R.
Afterlife Love is available in some bookstores and from the publisher at agelesswisdom.com or 480-966-3132. That's 480-966-3132.
Hi, everyone. Since childhood, I've had questions about my life and life in general that I couldn't find adequate answers to. Questions like, why am I here? Why are others here? Does the universe have a purpose? And how does that relate to my life? More recently, I've been wondering what happens when we die, especially the reasons why. I'm more of a doubter than a believer in many things, and answers that include the whys allow me to think and figure out the truth for myself. I've been reading a book, Life's Hidden Meaning. This one book contains more answers, including the whys, than all other sources I've read or heard. It's amazing to me that every one of my questions has been thoroughly answered. More importantly, I have found that all of these answers so far have checked out to be true. I hope this message helps some of you in your quest for better understanding. The name of this wonderful book is, again, Life's Hidden Meaning by metaphysician Niles McFlower. Some bookstores sell it. I got my copy directly from the publisher at agelesswisdom.com. Life's Hidden Meaning may enlighten your mind and bring some peace and joy to your heart.
We're back. This is Why Life Is, and I'm your host, Niles McFlower. Tonight we're talking about spiritually preserving wealth. And before the break, I said something I think that was fairly controversial, and that is that in general, the accepted norm, I guess, for a lot of people's preserving of wealth, not necessarily spiritually, is to have 401ks and various investment funds, and nowadays, I guess, it's some kind of precious metal and, just whatever. And they think of it in those terms because they're thinking mostly of themselves, sometimes of their family. And they're looking at it from a perspective of the length of their life and their comfort levels and desire levels and how what standard of living they wish to maintain for themselves rather than what they're going to do in a spiritual sense with the rest of their life. And these two can be in direct conflict, particularly if a person just does the normal thing, which is to have these instruments in their, in their wealth preservation. In some cases, it's real estate. I didn't mention that. And things, just having, if I have a lot of things, I don't have to worry about, if you go very far out into the future, like more than a few years, you're making a huge mistake in that respect. Now, why is it a huge mistake? Because inevitably, there will be many opportunities between now and when, quote unquote, to retire or go into retirement and pass, et cetera, that you have a much better opportunity now to use what you have for doing great things than you might have later while you're sick and failing and dying and whatever else is going on. You might say, well, then how am I going to take care of myself? Well, what are you worried about? Do you really want to just stay around and not be able to do anything? But, I got to live another 5 years. I spent all the money I had on all those bills for staying alive. Okay, that's not what I'm talking about at all. What I'm saying is the more you give wisely today and tomorrow and on, the healthier you maintain yourself, the longer your life will be without having expensive medical bills, etc., and the more your standard of living will be adequate to your need to just live in a comfortable way. I'm not suggesting we all live in caves, dressed in rags, just the opposite. What I'm suggesting is that which comes to us, we get from that which we wisely give before that. That's the real determining factor. The rest is illusion. Okay, let me say that one more time, because I know that a lot of people go, what did you say? I'm saying that how you live today and tomorrow will determine karmically how you're going to live in the future, regardless of what you think you're doing by having 401ks, gold, silver, platinum, land and houses and whatever else. All the things that people tend to collect, those things do not maintain your ability to even have a comfortable lifestyle. And if you don't believe that, what happened to your 401ks a year ago? And what has happened to dollars if you have those? A lot of people say, well, I got all my dollars in the gold last month. Well, sure. And what's going to happen when gold goes to half its value? And you say, well, wait a second, that's not going to happen because the dollar is going to go down. Well, maybe. I don't know. You know, you can't eat gold, and maybe food will be the most important thing that people are going to want to have if 10 years from now. And, you know, we're in a thing called solar minimus right now, and it's fooling everybody because the Earth is cooling off when it should be getting hotter and warmer. And it's offsetting any effects from whatever the causes you might believe exist for global warming. But don't be fooled by that. At any rate, there's all kinds of things that are happening, and these things could offset any small little issues or ways that we believe we can protect or preserve the wealth we have without using it for spiritual purposes in the wisest and best way we could. That's our best insurance. If you really want to insure your future, insure your future with good deeds and virtue and wisdom. And that is what you need to do now. Not wait 20 years and say, well, when I'm within 30 minutes of dying, now I'll do something good. Yeah, sure you will. Okay, so you see, this is a tough one, isn't it? Our illusions are so strong, and the society around us is so convinced that it knows what's best for us, right? That we are lulled and suckered and convinced to do the exact wrong things with whatever wealth we have. Something to consider. So the Today Show is, I guess, an eye-opener for some people. All right, then what are the solutions? What are we going to do to solve these issues? Because I could go on and on with other factors, but we don't have the time tonight to do it. Because, as usual, these subjects are that I pick are all unusually large, as they all seem to be, and they just grow and grow and grow. But, yeah, you can still think about this after the show, and I'm sure you can come to a lot of other ideas on your own. But as far as solutions are concerned, the first thing is to consider what we have, and that's it's like an assessment of what we've gained in the past and what we have. Most people don't realize what they have. And to look at that in terms of how much is needed within the present and near future, and then what can be used to spiritually serve others right now and in the near future, and how can it best be done for the most amount of good? And where is that highest and best use? The highest and best use is a very difficult thing to come to, because although there might be a highest and best use for one person, it isn't the same for everybody else. You might say, well, if it's really the highest and best use, it should be for everybody. Why don't you just tell us it all and we'll just go out and do it? But that's not true, because it always involves some understanding and creative use on your part. Giving should not be vacant of giving from oneself beyond just a question of wealth, something collected. It should be something that you have an understanding of and you really are behind it. And you somehow can interact if you choose to, which I suggest that you do, whatever you give. Try to interact in some way. and be of some benefit in whatever way you can, and by telling others about it if necessary. If that's the last thing you can do, at least let everybody else know, well, I found the highest and best use for me. Maybe it worked for you. Here it is. That's a way of being creative and interactive. A lot of people don't see that. They don't understand it. Well, I don't want anybody to know how I'm giving. Why not? Like it's got to be some kind of great secret? How is that going to help everybody? Communication is a wonderful thing. Let others know. And so this is, so there's so much we can do on an interactive and creative level. For someone to say, well, I'm really not that creative, so am I going to do anything? No, that's just nuts. Of course you can be creative in some way, always. You can communicate in some way. You can promote. You can contribute. You can critique. You can do a lot of things. Remember that. It's a great world, and that's, we're part of God. Remember that. We're co-creators if we choose to be. That's what we're here for. God didn't create us just to be little figurettes and, you know, say, oh, isn't that cute and that nice that little person over there is doing. No, we are co-creators. We are contributing to the growth of our creator. And so that's part of the process. And we have to remember that part. Now, if a person is in a position where they have a significant amount of wealth and they are in a position, in a circumstance where they don't believe, like, oh, well, I'm probably only going to be here for another 10 years, how should they proceed? In order to look at that kind of scenario, you've got to have a good amount of the ability to not only reflect on, but to contemplate the future and to see where is the highest and best use today? Will it get any better tomorrow? Who can be an assistance to that? Deal with spiritual groups, with spiritual people in general, who you can collaborate with. And so you can get best information from all those people out there who are in the act of giving at their level of highest and best use. And at the same time, not concern yourself with, oh, gee, what happens when I can't do this or can't do that anymore, when I need this kind of money or this kind of things or these kinds of whatever. Be much less concerned about that. As a matter of fact, don't be concerned about it. Those kinds of concerns are the illusions of our world. Yes, I know. You could say, yeah, well, you're telling me to do the exact opposite of what everybody else is telling me to do. Well, I maybe. That's the reason I'm a voice in the wilderness here. So, and you have to take what I say in conjunction with whatever else you hear and find the truth for yourself, of course. But I'm suggesting this because others aren't going to suggest it. They're going to tell you the other stuff. You can hear all that every day of the week, anytime you want to. There's plenty of it available. What I'm suggesting is the opposite. I'm suggesting that you get over the fears, not concern yourself with, gee, I have to have this or that. I don't want to be, you know, fall onto the needs of society or my family. I'll be independent. If those are the fears that you have, then those fears will lock you up so that you will use almost none of what you have. Particularly if, you know, I'm getting into that same age group, is you get into this mindset like, gee, how much longer am I going to live? I got to have all this and that. The more you think that way, the less creative you will be because fear is the enemy of your soul. And it's going to lead you into these contrived thoughts about life and existence. Oh, I only have so much longer to live. But the way I look at it is get as much done now. Do as much. Use what you've got to do what you think is the highest and best use based upon you and if you're a member of a spiritual group, what your group can do and what other groups that you're co-serving with can do. It's on and on. It spreads out. Who can and what ways can you do the most amount of good for the most amount of the time and people, the highest and best use possible now and in the near future? And not concern yourself about these other matters that are the fears of the personality. The personality wants to protect and control. It wants to have all of its life figured out, so there are no terrible needs or surprises that it will be facing. It doesn't want any changes that it has to face on a moment-to-moment or week or month-to-month basis. Everything will be just planned out. Well, that's what the personality wants. Your soul wants to be as creative as possible of its creator. It wants to co-create. It wants there to be as much virtue and righteousness and goodness in the world as possible. And it wants you to live that way, especially while you're physically alive. Physical life is the greatest challenge we have. The preservation of wealth is almost exclusively a concern while we're physically alive. And you might say, well, what about the astral realm? In the astral world, almost everything you need can be created from your own thought and desires. You don't have to worry so much about things. And consequently, it's not an issue. So this is the test, and this is the time to create the most for us. And we become more and more involved with that test as we grow older. A lot of people say, well, as you grow older, don't you get wiser? Well, some people do. But they also may become more and more greedy in an unusual sense. And they might, at the same time, become more and more fearful of using what they have. So we find younger people greedy to get and get more of, but at the same time more likely to use what they have on a moment-to-moment basis. Whereas we find older people less likely to be greedy about getting more, but be much more, we'll call it conservative, about holding on to what they already have, because after all, they're getting old. And what happens? And what if? And then I can't. And then and those kinds of things come into play. So age does determine how we look at these things. And in both sides, there's this unusual level of selfishness or greediness that we hate of because we are physically alive at the time. Physicalness gives us the problems of inertia and how difficult it is to both gain, have, and hold, and maintain any kind of physical thing, whatever it is. It's just a difficult thing to do within this particular dimension of time and space. And to get over this, we have to learn to live spiritually instead of materially. We have to use material things and learn how to use them wisely, but at the same time, our thought process has to be in the spiritual vein, getting over the illusions of the material world. I hope that makes some sense. What other solution can we do then? Well, another thing that I suggest is to make a list, literally, of the highest and best uses of what you find around you, regardless of what you have. Don't worry about what you have at that point. When you're making your list, just make a list of everything you think is just the highest and best use of anything I might have. And there might be 10 uses, because one might be appropriate for right now, another for 2 months from now, another for a year from now. But at any rate, this is a list of the things that you consider the highest and best uses. And then make a list of all of the things that you have that you can wisely give. There might be some things that you have that you can't yet wisely give, and make a note of that and find out how you can gain the wisdom to give them. That involves more people than yourself. And then find out if it's better to give as a group than as an individual. In some circumstances, depending upon how a person has lived their life up to that point, giving as a group is a better idea. In some circumstances, because people have been very separative, giving as a group may not be possible based upon the timing of what's needed when. And then in those circumstances, a person might be in a position best to give as an individual, because that's how they've created their life up to that point, and the need is great at the moment. There are lots of issues here, lots of things to consider. And if we're going to be straight with ourselves and honest with ourselves, we have to have an objective list or two objective lists as I'm putting together to solve the problem. Now you can say, well, gee, this is a lot more complicated than I ever thought it was going to be. Well, of course it's complicated. If it was simple, you probably wouldn't be here anymore. For those people who this stuff is really simple for, they don't need to be incarnated physically. They're living as souls, and this is nothing for them. Now, they might be here just to help us, the rest of us, learn how to do it. But the point is that we're here because it is difficult. So don't be surprised at how difficult this can get and how challenging it might be and how you're really going to be going through some serious times because you're going to be facing these illusions that you've built up in yourself and that have been, let's face it, sold to you, literally, everywhere you turn, from investment counselors to various educational programs to our old parents in the past, telling us things that they thought to be right, but they really are part of the illusion. So you need to try to get through those things if you're going to be able to make this adjustment and do the things that really will make a difference. Because all of us in the end, and I'll tell you this, I know it to be true, all of us in the end, especially as soon as we leave this world, regret the things that we didn't do and can do nothing more about them. Yes, we go and eventually we'll live another physical life in almost every case, but that doesn't change the situation because we'll be right back to where we were and we'll make the same mistakes sometimes. The more you tend to make the mistakes, the more you may repeat them. So it's better to do it now, correct it now. Even if you think I'm a crazy person, try doing what I'm suggesting and see how it comes out for you. I'd really love to hear from you about it, too. And I'm out of time. This is unfortunate, but I am out of time. If you are interested, I talked last week about Soul Balance. This is a product that does adjustments to literally the chakras and the spiritual energies, particularly chi energy, that moves between the chakras and the meridians of the nervous system. This is a product that balances the system and literally keeps that system well. If that system is well, everything else about you is going to be well. And if you have any kind of problem or illness, that is a way that you can solve it from a spiritual side. I'm not talking about how to solve any kind of illnesses from any physical side. But in a spiritual sense, this is the way to deal with things like that. And this particular product deals with the throat chakra, which affects how well we can breathe. It affects our lungs. It affects issues about our nose and throat and lungs. Those kinds of areas where, generally speaking, seasonally, we can be out of balance with that. And you get this Soul Balance, and you get 135 tablets, 24 capsules, another 24 strengthening capsules. So you're getting 48 plus 135. And we are asking for people to give us a gift to the Life Balance Association of $160, and we'll send you one of these setups that you can try using. And you can take this on a small amount on a regular basis or a large amount if you're really out of balance and you need to do something right now. It's good to have a bottle around. You might say, well, gee, it's a lot of money. It's a lot of money, but believe me, this can not only, it can save your life, it can make a huge difference in how you feel about how you feel and how well you feel. For more information, you can call this number, 602-472-5127. And also, I want to mention about Ideal Cellsortrin Resveratrol. If you like to get that, you can call foreveryoungproducts.com at 800-777-7850. I'm still using this stuff. Yes, I'm getting younger. I am. It does amazing stuff. Don't have time to tell you about all the amazing things it does because, yes, we are out of time. We're out of time. I can't believe it. Okay, so I hope the show has been somewhat helpful. Try some of the things. And until next week, this has been Niles McFlower for Why Life Is.